Welcome back to Elena's Dilemmas. In today's episode, we're going to talk about environmentalism, but not in the context that some of you listening might immediately assume. Here in the studio with me are Gärtner Rania and Sifat Marie. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Elena.
Thanks for having us.
The two of you are currently studying environmental sciences. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. To be precise, I'm specializing in sustainability.
And I in environmental engineering.
Well, that's perfect, because here's my dilemma. For the autumn break, I took a flight from Vienna to New York. And as I sat in the plane and it was not going well, there were a lot of turbulences, I thought to myself, I will die in a moment of environmental hypocrisy. I didn't die, of course, but I became more aware of the shame I felt about flying. I felt like a polluter. So when I arrived at home, I wanted to check my carbon footprint, which, as most of you will know already, anyway, is meant to track how much carbon I put into the atmosphere. And despite the numerous personal choices that I try to make in my everyday life, like doing my recycling, reducing the number of things I buy, riding my bike, making occasional donations to green charities and organizations, my carbon footprint calculation still came in a whopping 10.38 tons of carbon dioxide. That's over 2.5 times the global average. I bet you can already see where I am going with this, but am I a bad person then?
No, of course not. In fact, this is a really good personal example of what we like to call the lies of environmentalism. You made considerable life changes over a number of years, and still your existence basically is quite carbon heavy. But what might be very shocking about the whole concept of the carbon footprint is that it was popularized by a fossil fuel giant in 2008. British Petroleum, also known as BP, unveiled a carbon footprint calculator that year to essentially divert attention and responsibility from the fossil fuel industry to individual consumers.
So what you're saying is that the carbon footprint was some insidious plan by a big company?
Well, basically, yes. It kickstarted the neoliberalization of environmentalism, aka the blaming of global warming and the responsibility of fixing it, onto the individual. They convinced people to go on a low-carbon diet through guilt-tripping them, while British Petroleum themselves didn't put any effort into reducing the company's own carbon emissions, and has since expanded its oil drilling well into now. The carbon footprint is a big oil propaganda, and we've all been buying into it over 20 years. If everyone was to reduce their carbon footprints, we're told, we will save the world from overheating and extinctions. The floods and cyclones and forest fires will stop. But making better individual choices, of course, won't hurt, but focusing on the individual is an entirely incorrect framing of the issue that we're facing.
As you mentioned, Elena, your carbon footprint was twice the global average. To put this into perspective, research from 2008 showed that in America, homeless people who barely have personal belongings, but who eat in soup kitchens and sleep in homeless shelters, were indirectly emitting around 8.5 tons of carbon dioxide each year. That's still twice the global average. Well, in the UK, the average footprint per person, including all greenhouse gases, is around 13 tons per year, more than 3 times the global average.
So how is anyone meant to be making sustainable choices and working on their individual footprints when currently the largest part of our energy system is made up of fossil fuels, which then again is extracted by companies consistently willing to skirt any environmental responsibility?
That's a difficult question to answer, but what is certain is that the energy that is put into feeling guilty and blaming oneself should be invested into putting political pressure on governing bodies and getting involved in direct action concerning fossil fuel giants.
But we cannot only see the notion of personal responsibility when it concerns carbon emissions. For many, environmentalism means using a paper straw so that sea turtles don't choke, but unfortunately, by no means, this is how it works. In the 90s, for example, we were all subject to a massive marketing campaign funded by the immensely profitable plastics industry. No more than 10% of the plastic that is recycled has gotten reused in other consumer products. That's not nothing, given the mind-blowing amounts of garbage that we humans produce. So, and now here I'm going to quote Larry Thompson, who headed the main plastics industry group in the 90s. He said, "If the public thinks the recycling is working, then they're not going to be concerned about the environment." Again, we can see a pattern of diverting responsibility.
This marketing blitz saved the plastics industry at a time when local municipalities were starting to issue material bans on single-use packaging in the 90s. Can you imagine if the movement had been allowed continued momentum? This is an example that I believe perfectly illustrates, once again, Individuals will not save the world. But of course, we would like to think that we can, and feel bad if you use a plastic bag or drink from a non-recyclable plastic bottle. And the biggest perpetrators of pollution crimes are very well aware of our shame. Do you know we wish to follow a more sustainable lifestyle? That is where the concept of greenwashing arises. Greenwashing is the practice of making brands appear more sustainable than they really are. It may involve cynical marketing ploys, misguided PR stunts, or simply changing the packaging of an existing product while continuing to use unsustainable ingredients or practices. It's a way for companies to appear like they care while also increasing their profit margins.
But they're fully aware that eco-conscious people are willing to part with more money for a sustainable product.
Yes, and we've pretty much all fallen victim to it at some point. There are so many different types of greenwashing, it's almost impossible to keep track. From false low emissions claims by Ryanair, over to insincere sustainability fashion claims made by H&M, to Shell's climate poll on Twitter, which essentially gaslit the general public. The company seriously tried to convince their followers about not being carbon efficient and asked them on Twitter willing to change to help reduce emissions, while seriously producing 1 to 2% of the world's emissions, hoping no one would catch on to the sheer hypocrisy. Even the beloved IKEA has been accredited for illegal logging.
So it's safe to say that the healthy distrust towards big corporations who wrung profits out of the earth would be adequate.
Oh, definitely. As consumers, we can choose more sustainable options, but we also need to realize this that conspicuous consumption of marketable sustainability is largely performative. The lies run very deep, and what we've mentioned are only a few examples. I therefore highly encourage everyone listening to inform themselves further. It will be shocking to find out in how many ways the public's perception of environmentalism has been manipulated, but it's an essential step to take.
We're critical, of course, of current developments concerning the environment and the actions taken against global warming.
Or rather, the lack thereof.
And as Rania said, political pressure sounds like a good step to take. But then again, there has been pressure from scientists to activists to the concerned youth, and there hasn't been enough improvement.
But some?
Yes, some. I suppose I have a slightly more cynical outlook than you do.
Environmentalism is not dead. What needs to happen is a gradual shift of focus. Ask yourself, who is it that is to blame? Supply and demand is an equally skewed concept. Our demand can be manipulated, our habits controlled. We need to become aware of it. To sum everything up, you're not a bad person for having a high carbon footprint.
Instead of blaming yourself, it is time to blame those who have called the idea into existence.
Thank you very much, you two. This has been incredibly informative. I hope listeners will take your advice.